人生是一本书，每一段时光都是一段难忘的故事。
就让我们在此刻分享我们的故事。欢迎收听西雅图中文广播美国故事栏目。
亲爱的听众朋友们，晚上好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目。美国故事栏目是由中国日报美国版 China Daily USA 赞助播出，我是小袁。今天我们很有幸的请到了美国国会众议院议员的候选人 Doug Bessler。 欢迎你 Doug。
Welcome to our show.
Thank you, glad to be here.
And Doug, you have your partner here?
I have my campaign manager with me today, and that is Dr. Wayne Perryman. Oh, we just call him Wayne Perryman because he doesn't go for the titles.
Doctor.
Yes.
Perryman, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
我们一起主持的还有我们中文电台的小龙。首先我介绍一下那个 Doug Bessler 啊。那么Doug 呢，他是一个小企业主啊。他1984年呢在Mount Normal Bible College 读书，然后后来呢他曾经担任过一个电台的主持人，后来也在那个电视台工作过。2012年开始自己就是做一个小生意，他是一个 small businessman， 一直到现在。这是那个大哥的简单的经历。Do you want to translate?
Well, I guess you know your own bio.
And I do. It sounded like me.
Yeah, it sounded like you. So we just give a brief intro. But if you have anything you want to share with us, with your, who you are, you know, why you're here, what you're interested, what you're passionate about.
Sure. Well, I think that my passion, of course, is my family. I have a beautiful wife, been married just about 32 years now, and... 5 great kids. Mm-hmm. They range in age from 31 down to 11.
Wow.
So we have 4 girls and 1 boy, and they are very excited to have a father who is running for Congress.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else. Small business. I have a small business called EasyTVSpots.com, and we make television commercials mm-hmm. for other small businesses. Mm-hmm. And I love going to work every day. It's a lot of fun. I get to see other businesses become successful, and I get to work in media. I actually started out in radio, so I'm really excited to be here tonight. Mm-hmm. Radio was one of my first loves. I was on radio in Portland, Oregon I got on the air in 1990, and I was on the air with that station until 1999, so almost okay. almost a decade.
That's good to know. I'm going to quickly translate that. 所以说刚刚赵跟我们讲，他首先是很幸运的有五个孩子，那么年龄从11岁到31岁，有一位已经结婚32年的太太，那么作为一个生意人，自己曾经也在媒体做过，很早的时候曾经有一个，其实事实上现在还有一个电视制作公司。另外自己从90年到99年也曾经在波特兰做过广播的主持工作。
好，继续介绍一下 Doug。 那在今年8月5号的初选当中呢，Doug 是通过了初选，所以呢他将挑战现在的就是华州第9选区的联邦众议员的职位。那么在初选当中呢，Adam Smith 他是得到了63%的选票。Doug 呢作为一个挑战者，而且他是政治的新手呢，他得到了28%的选票。这是一个基本的情况。
So, you're basically running for the, Ninth District?
Correct.
And, we know that you're, you know,competitor, opponent, Adam Smith is a longtime politician, and you're running against him this year. So tell us a little bit about how you got into it. You're a businessman, if I understand correctly.
Correct. Well, I live in District 9, and mm-hmm. I have a small business. We have about 12 employees, and I have a family. I have 2 children still in school, 1 in high school mm-hmm. and 1 in grade school. And we feel, we're very passionate I'm very, very passionate about my family, about my business, about my neighborhood, about the District 9, the King County and the city where we live. My main focus in running for Congress would be that I don't feel that professional politicians are the best choice to represent us. I believe that America, the American government, was meant to be citizen legislators, citizen congresspeople that would go to Congress, mm-hmm. serve for a time, and then come home and live under the laws that they made.
Mm-hmm.
And so a professional politician that goes to Washington, D.C. and never comes home is less in touch with our families, our businesses, our schools.
Mm-hmm. 所以刚刚道跟我们分享了一下他这个参政的原因吧，也可以这么说，他首先是一个企业经营者，那么他对于在咱们华盛顿州第九区这个选区也是很有感情，自己在这儿生活，自己有孩子在这儿，自己有家庭在这儿，对于政治的意见，盖斯勒先生认为他觉得如果是政客多年都在从政的话，或许其实不是最合适的一个办法。那么从政府角度上讲，他认为应该是公民自己被选入政府来替公民代表公民的权利，而不是说由政客常年的在这个首都在华盛顿来做一些其实和自己家乡没有那么强关联的决定。
嗯，讲得很好。那么刚刚大哥呢跟我们讲他有五个孩子，然后呢又有自己的生意啊。那么我有一个问题，就是您是怎样在能够把五个孩子能够养大，然后同时呢又能够在事业上面成功，这个时间是怎么处理的？
So we're impressed that you have five kids age from 11 to 31. You run a business and you employ another 11 people and you're here running for the district. How do you manage all this time and commitments?
I just don't sleep.
Okay, 不睡觉，基本上原则就是不睡觉。
Well, first of all, I put my family first. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my children and my family, my wife and my family are most important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that everything else is second to that.
Mm-hmm. 家庭绝对是最重要的。太太、孩子、家庭在其他的事情政绩和这个事业上面相比，家庭是首先是最重要的。
And then in my business, I am what I think what makes a good business, a successful business, is a business that puts people first as well. And so our company is based on great customer service and giving real value to our customers. So it's just a natural outflowing of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm. Is this business the production business?
Correct. Our EasyTVSpots.com is. I like to have within my company, I have leaders. And so I pour my life into my leaders so that they're able to run the company. I still have to work hard. I still have to put a lot of hours in.
Right. But you're able to trust and delegate.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I believe that experience about caring about people, caring about my family, and, caring about you guys, and then being able to get the best people possible and to get them to do their best and then trust them to do their best is not only good for business, it's good for government as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. First of all, thanks for sparing some of your spare time with us tonight. 刚刚道跟大家讲，他首先之前也说了家人是第一，另外在时间运行上面，他就说是对于自己的企业来讲，本着一个以人为本的原则，那么在企业管理和经营上，相信自己企业的员工，相信自己的企业里的一些领导人，那么让他们去做很多真正就是日常的运营工作，自己可以相对来讲有一些灵活程度。然后他也觉得 那我们现在到进广告的时间了，
进
我们先进
下
广告，
广告之后回来。
FlyChina.com 购买回国机票 ，FlyChina.com 为您提供优质票价，诚信服务，方便可靠。
餐饮、
娱乐、
招聘、
交友、
买房、
投资、
演出，
请找西雅图中文电台。
中文电台广告使您梦想成真，最低收费每月仅仅$100就有机会使您的生意或者活动家喻户晓。
赶快行动吧！广告热线206-619-8698。206-619-8698，
或者发 email 到 crsradio@gmail.com。
欢迎回来，这里是西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目。今天我们的嘉宾是美国国会众议院参选人 Doug Bessler， 还有他的竞选经理 Wayne。那么刚刚呢，我们就是Doug 呢给我们简单的介绍了一下他的情况。那么我现在还有一个问题，就是Doug， 您对那个跟 Adam Smith 相比啊 ，Adam Smith 他是1997年一月份就在那个联邦众议院工作了，他已经工作了17年，所以是一个资深的政治家。那么您作为一个新手来说，跟他相比最大的优势在哪里
？Now we're getting to the business.
Right.
What do you think your biggest advantage is when compared to Adam Smith?
Well, now that's a loaded question. I think that the American government was created to protect our wealth, our resources, and it wasn't designed to consume them.
Mm-hmm.
When we have...and I'm not specifically referring to my opponent, but this class of professional politicians that's their career and everything counts on getting the next vote, winning the next election, staying in office because I need the money. I think that's a real problem for mm-hmm. America.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that my business experience...I've struggled. I know what it is to worry about putting food on the table. I know what it is to have to pay the bills and to work and to live in our neighborhoods. And I think that professional politicians are more often than not out of touch. They're not worried about putting gas in their car because the taxpayers are putting gas in their car. They're not worried about paying...their rent because the taxpayers are paying their rent. So I think that if I want, just as a person who lives here in King County, who lives in Kent, I want people to represent me that get me, that mm-hmm. understand me.
Mm-hmm. 赵刚刚跟大家分享的这个观点就是跟一个对手，那个对手是一个长期的一个政客相比啊，就是说首先他是一个做生意的人出身，做生意的人他自己知道经营一个企业的艰难，也知道老百姓日常生活中间遇到这些困难，所以他觉得和一个已经从政非常久的人相比，他自己更接地气，可以这么说。另外对于更笼统的这个政治机构来发表的一个意见，刚刚到跟我们分享的是，他认为美国政府本身最根本的作用和标准应该是来保护，而不是去消耗本身的国民财富。那么过度的这个臃肿的政府机构，或者过于长久的专门为了连任而在位的这个政客，其实他认为是适得其反的。
讲得好啊。那么我们知道这个华盛顿州第九选区呢，大多数都是在 King County， 也有一部分呢在 PS County。 那么就是Doug， 如果您当选为联邦众议院的议员的话，您是不是觉得就是您所代表的这个选区的人民就是会这个地区会是一个更好的地方
？So most of part of District 9 are in King County, right? Part of it is in Pierce County.
Very small part of Pierce County.
So would you foresee the changes? I don't want to use the word future because that's too vague a word of the District 9. if you got elected? What's your vision for the district?
Well, Adam Smith entered office in 1997. District 9 was way different. It was farther south.
Mm-hmm.
Now District 9 is majority-minority, and I think that is that's huge. That's our first in Washington State. I'm committed to diversity. My campaign manager, who's sitting here with us tonight and being so quiet, is African American, and I didn't choose him because he was African American. I chose him because he's one of my best friends, and he's smart, and he's funny, and he makes me work very hard. I'm committed to have everyone be represented. Everyone has a place at my table.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, I want input from everyone. And on my team right now, we have independents, we have Republicans, we have Democrats on my team. And we have black, white, European, we have all sorts of people. And I intend to continue that. And I think that makes King County better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes my school district in Kent is majority minority, where my children go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I live that way. So I am white.
These are disclose that? And
yeah. And but I am a person that cares.
Mm-hmm.
So
所以, 刚刚跟我们分享, 这个第九区啊, 从对手 Adam Smith 这个当选以来, 很长时间了, 但是这个区其实是, 轻轻的这个轻微的 相当于是改区或者说是在地图上面的界限重新划定过，那么现在他现在就是想要参选这个第九区，其实非白人的少数族裔已经是总体人口的大多数。那么Doug自己本身是非常对多种族族裔的这个政策或者说他自己是非常欢迎和非常友善的，包括他的这个选举 委员会的Wayne，刚刚我们讲他，首先他是一位黑人，而且他们俩之前就是很好的朋友。Doug自己的孩子上学的学校有各种族裔的人，他的公司还有他的这个选举委员会，他这个里面也有各种族裔的人，所以他觉得这是美国将来的社会应该是的形态，大家更应该欢迎，更应该能够自如的处理和应对。嗯，
讲得好。那么 我有一个问题，就是众所周知，在西雅图已经通过了最低时薪15美元的法案。那么，道格，您对这个法案有什么看法？如果在有人在华州推动整个华州的最提高最低时薪的这个法案，或者甚至在全美国推动提高最低时薪的法案，您会持什么态度？
Lichang. So now we'll switch gear a little bit. We start to talk about the more business side of the story. You know, $15 minimum wage was recently passed in Seattle. A lot of different reactions and a lot of different opinions. We're really interested in hearing what you think about that decision. What's that impact? And what if people start to propose this goes statewide?
Or nationwide?
Or nationwide. Hard to do worldwide, but...
Well... It'd be better if it was worldwide because then it wouldn't kill competition. So I am against, I am opposed to raising the minimum wage at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the economy is far too fragile. Their businesses are still struggling. I have a business. I work with other business people and they are frankly very afraid of this. It can do harm to the business. So my opponent is in favor of raising the federal minimum wage over 30%. Of course, the $15 is a 60% increase in minimum wage. We already have the highest minimum wage in the country, here in Washington. And we have very high teenage unemployment. We have very high young adult unemployment. It's more difficult for a business like mine to hire and train people
when we are constrained by that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the government, the federal government, the state government, the county government, the city governments should not be doing more harm to the economy right now. I think that this is a poor time for that. And so that may not be extremely popular with everyone.
Just before we go into further, I'm just going to quickly translate that. And 所以刚刚 Doug 跟大家讲的观点是，他首先是反对，已经通过的$15每小时的最低薪金，在西雅图通过的这样的一个法案。他的原因是觉得现在经济和商业还不够顽强，尤其是很多中小型企业对从每小时差不多是$10左右到每小时。不到$10到每小时$15的这样的一个大幅度的最低工资提高，没法接受，吃不消。他的观点是，在我们华盛顿州，尤其是在 King County， 现在很多的少年和青年还处于失业状态，这部分人群的失业率很高，在这个时候如果要提高最低工资的话，会进一步恶化这种失业率，或者是很多中小型企业无法持续的现状。
So minimum wage, I believe, was meant to be a starting point for people, not where you end up. So I started working a minimum wage job when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum wage was probably less than $3 at that point. And then I learned skills. I learned how to be a professional, be a person that could do jobs, and I moved up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, when you take the what should be a training wage or a beginning wage, and you make it so high, you actually hurt the people that you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, I mean, if you're a young person, a lot of times you're already living at home. You don't have the high overhead that, say,
mortgage
a family
order,
when a family has.
Right, right.
So it's a great time for you to learn those skills.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the minimum wage in that sense would possibly give some employer a tendency to keep the wages around that neighborhood instead of actually giving the raises as fast as it would otherwise have?
Sure, and then you take away, and that takes away the incentive to do better, because if you want a raise, you're going to work harder, right?
Right. Or you're coming in at earning 15 anyways, and
right.
It's already better than a lot of other states, frankly speaking.
And we think that this will have a devastating impact upon small businesses in the Asian communities, the minority communities. They don't have the luxury to automatically just raise their prices to compensate and cover for the minimum wage increase. So many would have to close their doors. Others would have to lay people off. Mm-hmm. And we don't think that Adam Smith and the politicians have really thought through this and thought about the devastating economic impact that this is going to have on small businesses. My candidate here, he works with small businesses. His company is designed to help small businesses promote their products and their services.
Mm-hmm.
He appeals to small businesses. And so we're very, very concerned that we have a person like Adam Smith who feels like they should raise the minimum wage without regard to the impact it would have upon the ethnic minority communities and their businesses.
Okay.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
西雅图家园投资移民区域中心为您报时。
现在是美国西部时间晚上10:00，这里是西雅图中文电台。
欢迎回来，这里是西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目。今天我们的嘉宾是美国国会众议院的议员参选人候选人 Doug Bessler， 还有和他的竞选经理 Wayne。那个小龙，您翻译一下刚刚 他们说的。
好的，刚刚我们在整点报时前问了他们关于最低工资的一个问题。那么，Wayne补充，刚刚Doc说的，他的观点是，首先，他们的对手这个 Adam Smith 可能不一定意识到最低工资对于中小企业会产生的非常严重的这种损害。那么，包括其中咱们华人在内的很多少数族裔的移民，其实是经营，比如说餐馆，比如说洗衣店，比如说很多中小企业这样的性质的生意。那么从这个最低工资涨到15块钱之后，他们肯定会感觉到这样的这个伤害。那么一个职业政客或许不会有一个商人感觉的这么清楚，因为 Doc 自己本人就经营一家公司，有11个包括自己12个雇员。那么之前早先 Doc 的观点是，最低工资应该是一个开始的一个标准，而不是一个最终标准。怎么说呢？就是说最低工资应该是刚参加工作的，比如说非常年轻的人，那么去试水的一个标准。那么你干得好会被涨，会干就是往上增加工资。但是如果最低工资一开始定的过高的话，其实反过来是对参加工作的人也有害。那么很可能本身应该涨的工资最后就被名正言顺的不涨了，或者说工作机会就变少了。
啊，我有一个下一个问题啊，就是关于美国的移民改革啊，不知道Doc是持什么样的观点啊？就是因为最近有一些新闻，有一些比如说南美来的孩子啊，他们应不应该遣返？然后呢，在美国呢，有一些像中国来的或者其他印度来的一些，就是从事高科技行业的，就是精英，他们很多人要等10年才拿到绿卡。那么这种，美国的移民改革应该怎样进行？那个大哥有什么观点
？So, before we move on to the next topic, do you have anything else you want to share regarding the minimum wage? And
I'm against raising it right now.
That's pretty clear.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So now our next question also is pretty touchy, but we don't mind asking here. Immigration.Also a topic that is relevant, very, very relevant to a lot of our listeners here. And we know that, as a matter of fact, many Chinese Americans who came to this country to work for multinational companies with advanced degree will still have to wait for, 8, 10, 12, even 15 years before to get their, green card or citizenship afterward. So I think it's pretty widely agreed that the immigration system have some issue.What is your opinion on a system?
So the immigration system in America is broken.
Mm-hmm.
It is not functioning the way it should. So I have three basic solutions to immigration system. First is two part. One, that we would have a robust, easy to navigate guest worker program.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for example, all of the undocumented immigrants right now could come out of the shadows. It's very it's intolerable for them right now. They are victims of crime. They are being abused in a lot of ways. We need to get them out of the shadows, get them registered, get them agree to pay taxes, agree to pay their own health insurance so that they don't overcrowd the emergency rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And if they commit a violent crime, then they should be deported.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
the
first part.
Okay. 所以说道格认为首先咱们美国的移民系统现在是就是完全是糟糕的，就是说完全是不是正常工作。中间有三个建议他想要提出。第一点建议首先是建立一个比较合理的一个工作签证体制吧。这个工作签证它具体指的其实是一个临时工作签证，对于目前来讲没有身份的非法移民来讲，这样有几个好处。第一个是可以让目前没有身份的这部分人这个从阴影中间走出来，可以去享受到一些应有的权利。那么与此同时，他们也应该从阴影中间走出来，去交该交的税，就是这个东西责任和权利是相对的嘛。这样能够让他们在司法系统中间，在移民系统中间不是一个空白。换句话讲，美国每年统计人口和实际人口的差别不应该那么大。
So the next part to that
first section would be also a path to citizenship. So a path where they can learn history, learn civics, government, these different things, what the great privilege it is to be an American citizen and the responsibilities of that.
Mm-hmm. 那么跟这个息息相关的一部分就是从有移民身份到有公民身份应该有一条路，也就是说应该允许这样的移民有一条走到成为美国公民的可循之境。那么成为公民也有相应的这个权利和相应的义务，应该学习美国历史，应该学习他没有说到语言，但是就是说应该有一些需要学习的东西，这样才知道成为公民本身是一种权利，也是一种可以说也是一种非常有幸才能得到的东西。
So then the second part of my solution would be we must fix the immigration system. So what you spoke of earlier where people are waiting 5, 10 and years and longer for a status in the country, that's ridiculous. We have computers, we have automation. They shouldn't have to wait 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to fix that, accelerate it. Let me be clear. We need immigrant workers in America. They're a vital part of the American landscape and the American economy. They bring a huge advantage to us as a nation, to our economy. And to have an immigration system that works would prevent great big wonderful companies that we love, like Microsoft, from having to open facilities in Canada in order to be able to have guest workers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important to me.
Mm-hmm. I can certainly relate to that because from several years ago when a lot of the people graduated from engineering school, when they had an easier time finding jobs around here into companies, they probably would decide to stay here and work. These are, I'm talking about computer scientists, chemists, you know, biology, you know, biology.
Smart people like you.
Thanks. But as it gets harder and harder, you start to see a huge influx of people who went to the United States, get education here, not finding a chance to actually use their knowledge, and they end up going to rest, you know, the world. And a lot of Chinese companies are hiring aggressively here, and they're taking that chance. You start to see a lot of talent actually going right back to China as soon as they finish their grad school here, which is paid by the United States, you know, because they got scholarship or they got, you know, assistantship. This is almost like, you know, going in a circle, and this is not serving the purpose very well.
Well, you know, in addition to that, when we talk about immigration in America, they mostly refer to Latinos, Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that Asians are very concerned about immigration, and it's affecting their community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Doug Bassler, the candidate, reached out to the international Asian community because he wanted to find out how does immigration affect your community? And if we have immigration reform, what must we do to make sure that the Asian community's needs are met as well?
Mm-hmm. 刚刚 Wayne 做了一个很重要的补充，他就说之所以今天 Doug 到这边来在咱们台做节目，很大程度上也是他意识到咱们通常说移民问题经常想的其实是来自拉丁美洲的，来自墨西哥的，中美洲的移民，但是其实我们华人亚洲人也是一个在移民问题上面非常关键的一个群体。那么今天他来做节目，很大程度上也是想听到咱们的这个说法，跟大家去分享他的想法。那么将来参选以后，我想他也愿意代表我们的这部分权益。回到之前刚刚道哥说的这个第二点，美国移民系统需要做的事情就是不应该有排这么长时间的队，就应该把这个系统本身去修改，而且能够允许更多的移民留下来。美国是一个非常需要移民的国家，美国的增长和美国的优秀的移民息息相关。So what's the third point you get?
Well, the third point makes all the other points work. We secure our borders. One of the primary jobs of the American government, of any government, is to protect the people that live here. And the federal government's inability or unwillingness to secure our borders –
is either gross incompetence or criminal negligence. And so we need to secure our borders. No other country in the world has an open borders like this,
mm-hmm.
to where legitimate, hardworking, qualified immigrants are having to wait while others can just walk over and
yep.
And just be okay with that.
Yep.
Right, so that's that's the third.
Yep. Yeah, I think that relates to a lot of our listeners for sure. 刚刚到跟大家分享到的就是说最重要的一点最后一点其实就是要把美国边境守好。那么说白了就是这么多辛苦的想留下的移民包括咱们华人中间很多朋友费这么多劲儿我们电台做很多节目跟大家谈移民的问题。留在美国觉得这么难的同时如果非法入境这么容易的话那会对合法移民是一个极大的感情挫伤。所以道格也认为这是一个非常需要被修复的一个状态。
嗯，回答的都很好。那么我下面呢再问一个有争议的问题，就是想知道道格对那个已经通过并开始实施的那个 Obamacare 的一个看法，就是这是一个900页的法案。那么道格您是什么样的观点？
We're not going to ask you for the whole opinion, but we're going to ask you that Obamacare law is 900 pages.
yes.
It's certainly a piece of complicated legislature. What's your take?
Well, and we're certainly beginning to see the difficulty in administering a 900-page law. Whether you're a Democrat or an independent, a Republican, whether you're for it or against it, I think everyone would agree that it's too big, it's too cumbersome. And I believe that in all of our legislation should be simple. This thing shouldn't be 900 pages, it should be 30 pages.
From a business owner perspective, how does that impact you?
Well, you mean...
The fact that this law is in place and now the healthcare...
Well, a law like this doesn't help business people. It helps the people that wrote it who are lawyers. So we have Congress is full of lawyers and attorneys, and you have a big, complicated law. I want people to have access to health care,
mm-hmm.
affordable health care. This is very important to me. I have a nephew. He's 23 years old. Him and I have the same birth date, a few years apart, but we both have the same birth date. And he is suffering. He is going through cancer treatment. So mm-hmm. health care is very personal to me. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that's theoretical. And so I think these things can be done more simply, more effectively. As a business person, we cannot afford to overcomplicate things. That costs us money, time. It makes it inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's better ways to give Americans the health care that they want, that they deserve. Yep. And I believe that about all laws. I think a law should be readable by the people.
I couldn't agree more on that. 刚刚道跟大家讲，这个法律本身不应该是特别晦涩难懂的。九百页的一个法律显然是过长了。那么从一个企业主的角度讲，他觉得这个奥巴马医保的这个法案并没有让给员工更简单、更可以交付得起的这个医疗保险变成一件容易的事儿，反而。受益方应该说是更多的这个律师或者说帮助写这个法案的这部分人，所以他对这个法案本身并不是特别的喜欢，可以这么说。
好，现在问一个个人的问题啊，就是道格呢虽然读过大学，但是呢并没有拿到这个大学的学位，所以呢他从一个没有大学学位的一个人，后来 做了电台的主持人，又做了电视台的主持人，还得了最佳电视台电视主持人的多个奖项。后来呢，又开始了自己的生意，那么自己做了小企业主。那么这是在美国的一个非常励志的故事啊。那么能不能讲讲你的体会，就是怎样从一个没有学位的人能够成为一个成功的商业上的一个人才？
So the next question is about, now we're going to start to pick on you, but...
Great.
Higher education.
Yes.
You went to college, but you didn't really got to finish. And you end up having multiple careers. You were in the media industry, you had your own production company, you run your own business, you know, you're getting to a, you know, politician role as well. What do you think? What's your thoughts about higher education in that sense? What does it give you, or what does it not
give
you?
Well, higher education is a huge problem in my family because I have two daughters who have graduated from the University of Washington, and yet I'm married to a woman who graduated from the University of Oregon. And so we don't talk about college at my house because someone might get hurt.
Yep. 所以他们这个家里面孩子是从华大毕业的，然后他太太是从俄勒冈大学毕业的，这个是死对头，所以说不太敢聊学校的事儿。
Especially since the Oregon Ducks usually win.
The other thing about higher education is that when the kids who are getting student loans come out of college, it takes them 10-20 years to pay off their student loan. It's getting so...the cost is getting so high that it's almost impossible for a young person coming out of college today to be able to buy a home, to be able to buy a car. It's one of the biggest expenses that they will have as young people, 21, 22 years old. When years ago, when people came out of school, they didn't have this enormous debt. We are a debt society.And we're indoctrinating our kids to go into debt just to get an education when we in America could actually give free college tuitions to our young people if we cut government spending in a lot of the areas. So this is really a concern. My son is in college, and he said, Dad, by the time I get my graduate degree, I'll owe close to $300,000.
Wow.
And what you start out with in terms of wages, it's almost impossible to pay it off.
Yep.
In a reasonable amount of time.
It's a house.
Yep. And it's a house right there. You know, you can't really take another loan on top of it and try to depreciate it. So it's really hard. 刚刚 Wayne 给我们分享了一个例子，他儿子现在，哦，他孩子，是他，应该是说他儿子，现在在上学。那么我们刚刚说到了这个高等教育问题，问你觉得很大一部分原因是学生贷款的问题。那么美国现在很多学生进入大学毕业的时候就背了一大堆债。那么他刚刚说的数字是，他儿子等到研究生毕业的时候，差不多算算总共欠了快将近有30万美元。你想想，这个30万美元要多少年才能还清？从开始参加工作。
好。我们的时间呢不是很多，但是呢我们还有好多问题。我现在问一个问题啊，因为我们的听众呢主要是我们就是华人社区啊，所以呢如果道格您当选为美国联邦众议院的议员的话，那么您将怎样帮助这个社区的华人还有其他少数族裔的人群呢？
So this is a great conversation so far. We're getting close to the end of the show. We're going to ask you one question about your plan of actions in terms of minority groups. Do you have plans if you get elected? How would you help? What's your thoughts on enabling minority groups?
Excellent question. As I said earlier,everyone has a seat at my table. So I want input. I will seek input. And not only in the, just in being representing, but I also would ask that the Chinese community would suggest someone to be on my paid staff in Washington, D.C., to be a,
a help to me to help represent this community. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I love all people, and I want everyone to have a voice. And that's what this job is. As a United States representative, you're a representative. This isn't about me. This is about you. And that means that we have to be able to have a conversation. And that's why you see Democrats on my team, Republicans on my team, Independents on my team.
That's very interesting. Very impressive, actually.
And it's, you know, sometimes we don't always agree, mm-hmm. but we do like each other. And we take the time to work out the best solution. And that gives us a greater flexibility in coming up with solutions that are good for America.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to ethnic groups, there's no individual that can know the various ethnic groups well enough to represent them without having a representative from that group to advise them on matters like this. This is why mm-hmm. in our campaign, everyone has a seat at our table mm-hmm. because we want to hear the concerns from the people whom we're representing, not just white people, Asian people, Latino people, people all ethnicities. And this is unique about Doug because he don't want to be a white politician that thinks he know it all and knows exactly what every community wants. He wants to hear from the people what are their concerns and how can I serve you as your candidate in the 9th District.
Very well said. 刚刚我们听到的这个回答 简而言之 Doug 认为作为代表 就应该真正的去代表他代表的人。那么他的团队中间不光有各种族裔的人，而且他自己也很愿意吸取、听取来自不同种群的声音，包括像我们今天的节目，包括他线下会收听大家的一些这个意见，大家有问题的话欢迎发给我们电台。那么他认为，首先这样一个多元化的团队，更能够最后产生出来建设性意见和结果。 他也承认团队中间很多时候由于是这么多元化，他的团队包括这个不同族裔的人，而且包括不同政见的人。那么民主党的、共和党的，还有独立派的都有，大家不总是会在一个问题上完全同意对方，但是这种不同意见的碰撞可能正是能够带来更有成果的一种办法。而且Wayne补充表示，对于Doug来讲，他是非常宝贵的一点，就是他真正去
收听大家的意见，他在自己的团队中间真正吸纳了各种各样不同的人，那么不是说只是停留在口头上，而是在行动中间有和大家打成一片。我也还有一个小的问题啊，就是如果Doug您当选为联邦众议院的议员的话，就是如果我们这个少数族裔有一些人需要您的帮助。 不一定是国家大事那么大的事情的帮助，而是比如说，想请您写个信啊，或者请您帮助啊，那么我们去找您方不方便？
We are asking you for a favor after you get elected already.
Great.
Assuming you get elected, if we need a favor from you.
I'm getting elected.
Like a letter, like a help or, you know, a phone call or something, you know, is it possible for us to contact you and reach out and say what we, you know, our opinion and what we want you to represent us as?
You personally?
Well,
absolutely.
Not me. Thanks. But Chinese community in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I want to be accessible. You know, I'm not there. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't. But my commitment is that I go as a representative. And as a representative, that means I need to have an open door mm-hmm. and the ability to talk to you on the phone, mm-hmm. shoot an email, whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm committed to that.
We'll make sure we stop by when we visit D.C.
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
We want you on our staff.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about calling. You'll be right there. And
I just go walk out in the
office. You will have our ear right away.
Thanks. See you on Capitol Hill. Yeah. Yeah. 所以他的意见就是说，首先大家有问题的、有意见的话， 将来就找到了。如果被选上的话， 咱们本地华人朋友们要是有什么诉求，有什么 意见想要通过他反映到美国的这个国会去的话，他非常愿意为大家做这个代表。 那么如果有一些个人的问题想要他帮忙的话，他也非常公开，希望能够帮助大家。欢迎大家不管是致电写信，还是到华盛顿DC 去的时候到他们的办公室去访问他们。
嗯，太好了。那么在我们节目的最后，道格，您是不是给我们美籍华裔的选民说几句话，为什么我们要投您的票？
So now you get our hopes high. A lot of people are booking their tickets to DC, and hopefully, we don't even know when you're going to be in office, but
well,
a few words for us, please.
I will win the election with your help on November 4th. So the ballots will come out on or around October 21st. And so, it requires all of us to send our ballots in. Ballot needs to be in by November 4th if I am victorious. Then I would be sworn in January of 2015.
And we're not embarrassed to ask for your donations and contributions to help us, aid us. You can go to our website, and there's a place for you to just log in and make your donations to help us win this election.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our opponent has very much money, mm-hmm. and so everything helps. Not only if you vote, also, we like volunteers. We like to come and visit. You know, we like to come out, and I love General Tso chicken, and spicier the better.
Awesome. 所以首先最喜欢的菜是，我们还没问他就先回答了。嗯，最喜欢的菜是左宗棠鸡。那么先再说最重要的事情，就是如果大家想要去投票的话，能够帮助到的办法就是10月21号。这个选票会发出来。那么如果有投票资格的朋友，希望你能够11月4号之前把你的票投出来。如果你觉得听了节目对道格的政见还算支持，愿意投给他的话，那么他明年1月份如果能赢的话，明年1月份就会宣誓就职。那么如果大家想要通过其他办法来帮助他的话，可以到他的网站 dogbassler.com dogbassler.com 来。不管是通过有钱出钱，有力出力吧，嗯，
好，
谢谢，
哦，谢谢，已经学了一句中文了，
道格能够顺利当选。
We wish you good luck, and hopefully we get to see you around.
Thank you, my pleasure.
感谢道格贝斯勒，还有他的就是竞选经理 Wayne 光临我们西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目。美国故事栏目是由中国日报美国版 China Daily USA 赞助播出。
Thank you very much, Doc. Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
谢谢大家收听。
Bellevue 的 Steinway 钢琴行邀请您光临西华盛顿州唯一授权的 Steinway 销售中心。我们有众多全新 Steinway、Boston 和 Essex 钢琴，供您的孩子和家庭选择。朗朗说 ，Steinway 钢琴无与伦比。为了您的方便，我们在 Bellevue Northeast 的店面1周7天营业。详情请查看 steinwaybellevue.com steinwaybellevue.com。
举办婚礼、生日宴会，请到海景大酒楼。
大型晚会、团体宴席，请到海景大酒楼。
面向 Lake Union 的海景大酒楼提供500人的宴会大厅，是各类庆典的最佳场所。
难忘今宵，尽在中国海景大酒楼。 China Harbor 的电话是206-286-1688 206-286-1688。
成立于1992年的 Reliance Mortgage 是华盛顿州最有经验的华人贷款公司，给您最好的利息是我们的承诺。全心全力、专业规划、最佳口碑，就是合理贷款公司 Reliance Mortgage。 电话425-451-8889，转分机号248，或者拨打手机206-949-4562 206-949-4562，贷款执照号 510-LO 23202。